From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of this psalm is the Word of God, expressed in many different ways. As he expounds the teachings of the psalm, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the theme of living clean in an unclean world. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5. Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. This covenant is divine in its origin. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Oh, that great word, He! Stop, my soul. God, the everlasting Father, has positively made a covenant with thee. Yes, that God who spake the world into existence by a word, He, stooping from His majesty, takes hold of thy hand and makes a covenant with thee. Is it not a deed, the stupendous condescension of which might ravish our hearts forever if we could really understand it? He hath made with me a covenant. A king has not made a covenant with me, that were somewhat. But the prince of the kings of the earth, Shaddai, the Lord all-sufficient, the Jehovah of ages, the everlasting Elohim, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. But notice, it is particular in its application. Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Here lies the sweetness of it to each believer. It is not for me that he made peace for the world. I want to know whether he made peace for me. It is little that he hath made a covenant. I want to know whether he has made a covenant with me. Blessed is the assurance that he hath made a covenant with me. If God the Holy Ghost gives me assurance of this, then his salvation is mine. His heart is mine. He himself is mine. He is my God. This covenant is everlasting in its duration. An everlasting covenant means a covenant which had no beginning and which shall never, never end. How sweet amidst all the uncertainties of life to know that the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, and to have God's own promise, My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Like dying David, I will sing of this, even though my house be not so with God as my heart desireth.
Birth. Hail the ever-blessed Lord.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for the whole series is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his third message, focusing on verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Borrowing from one of the great Puritan writers, Thomas Brooks, Dr. Cairns has entitled this message, A Sure Remedy Against Satan's Devices. In the first portion of the message, Dr. Cairns noted that the psalmist had a deep perception of spiritual reality. That is, Satan is out to destroy believers in any way he can. Today we'll see that the psalmist had a noble purpose. He had a determination to live a holy life. He hated sin, because first and foremost, sin is against the Lord. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, sin is anything that drives a Christian from Christ. The angel said to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." From Let the Bible Speak, may you have a blessed and Christ-filled Christmas. Now, with God's Word for today, here is Dr. Cairns.
The final device that Brooks mentions is that he leads you into evil company. He leads you into evil company. We read this last week in Proverbs 1. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Go not with them. Now, I want to bring two texts together. And I'm not turning them up because I don't want to get off on a tangent preaching them. But I want them to be together in our minds. The psalmist prayed, "Gather not my soul with sinners." That's a great prayer. I want to tell you something. There's nobody here. I don't care how careless you are about the things of God. I don't care how hardened in heart you've become, how seared your conscience has become when you hear the preaching of the gospel. I am willing to make it a blanket statement. There's not a man, woman, or young person here who could look God in the face and say, "Lord, on the day when you're gathering sinners to burn them in hell, number me among them. I want to be there." Not one. Oh, that's the prayer, "Lord, gather not my soul with sinners." Good prayer. The only way to escape that is to get to Christ, who is separate from sinners, and who'll separate you from sinners. But if you are praying, "Gather not my soul with sinners," then Proverbs 1 says, "Do not go with sinners." In other words, you can't walk in the company that's going to hell, go all the way down the road with them, and think that somehow or other it's going to lead you to heaven. You can't do that. Don't go with them. Now that's plain. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Go not with them. Go not with them. Here are some of the dangers that confront us. As I say, the psalmist smelt danger everywhere he went. And I think, you know, if we don't have that perception, if we fail to have that perception, we're going to be living very dark and defeated lives. Danger's everywhere. Everywhere. In the natural life, haven't you heard it? That most accidents, most injuries happen in the home. Haven't you heard that? Statistically, I think that's established. Most of the injuries people suffer happen in their own home. There's danger there. I want to tell you, most of the injuries that are happening spiritually are happening in our own homes. Serious thought. Every time I dedicate an infant up here, I read the passage, the promise of God. Well, first of all, the command. I take two portions from Deuteronomy 6 and then Deuteronomy 11. And in Deuteronomy 6, the Lord is saying, about the place of the Word of God in the life and in the heart and in the home. I've been asked this question probably 1,000 times. All over the world, wherever you go, Christians ask the same question, as if there were some recondite or difficult answer. There's not. How do we have a family altar? How do we have family worship? I've addressed this, I don't know how many dozens of times. Every time I read that portion, it's there to be clearly seen. You take this Bible. First, as a family, you read it. That's what you do. You read it. Then you talk about it. That's what it says. Talk about it. Is that happening in most homes? I figure not. I mean, what do husbands and wives talk about nowadays? Do they talk? What do they talk about? Where is the talking together of the things of God? Where is the building up of each other in the faith of the gospel? There's nothing esoteric about this. This is right on the plain page of Scripture. This is what we're told to do. There's danger in the home. There's danger in the workplace. I was just a young fellow going out into my first job. I had felt terribly the failure of teenage years and my fear to take a public stand for Christ. As a little fellow from a working class family in a public school surrounded by people of wealth and station and position and all the rest of it, I, to be quite honest, was intimidated, overwhelmed, and very often just intimidated so much to keep my mouth shut. You find that hard to believe, but that's true. My mouth was shut. And I remember going out into what was, in those days, quite a prestigious firm. And I said, Lord, whatever it costs, from the very first chance I get, I am going to nail my colors to the mast and I'm going to take my stand for God. And God blessed that, but there was danger there. Danger in the workplace. Danger, and I saw this. I don't know if the people were saved. I've told this story before, but some of you young people, you would need to learn this. I was just a kid. And there were other young people there from a church background, professing Christianity. God knows whether they knew anything of Christ or not. I would doubt, to be quite honest, very much doubt. I've often told you we had in our office a girl of rare physical beauty, which made the other girls hate her, and they talked about her for the most part out of sheer jealousy, and it made all the young men love her. I remember seeking to give her the gospel. I could honestly say, I could see she was beautiful. I had no more interest in her than, that's well I didn't, because she'd never had any interest in me, but I had no interest in her whatsoever, except I'd love to have seen her saved. She was a professing atheist. She was no more an atheist than I. But she stood and listened to me as I gave her the gospel. And seeing that she was standing, spending time talking to me, a young Presbyterian fellow decided, he was the son of a director and he had wide eyes for this beautiful girl. He thought, well, if it's religion's going to get her talking, then I'll talk religion. And so he butted into the conversation. I never forget the devastating reply. Man, was I glad that by the grace of God I had sought to stand for him. She withered him. Withered him. She said, "You are just a dirty little hypocrite." When there are all the stories and the yarns and the filthy jokes going about the office, you're there and you're within it and you're talking and you're telling them with the best of them. And yet when he's talking religion to me, you come and you'll be religious. And then she said this. She said, "It's people like you who have people like me the way we are." Now, I'm sure when that young fellow went into the office, he didn't go with the intention of being a dirty little hypocrite, but that's what he was. I don't think he went with that intention. But he got corrupted. I know a man went into a work. He went in as a professing Christian. In fact, I believe he was saved. The Lord has since restored him, and I believe that he was a genuine believer. Because he was a Christian, he was entrusted with special funds that his fellow workers were gathering. A lot of money. Times got hard. He got inveigled, if my memory's right, into gambling. The next thing, the money began to disappear. Of course, I'll put it back next week. Or the next week. Or the next week. And he never did. Lost his job. Worse still, he lost his testimony. Dangerous place. Wherever you go, the devil's out to destroy you. So that's the perception. Now, over against that perception, the psalmist had a noble purpose. It was to live in holiness. His purpose was that I might not sin against thee. Now, I want you to notice the words "against thee." You see, the psalmist was powerfully affected by what he knew of the Lord. Sin was hateful because of what he knew of the Lord. What defines sin in the psalmist's mind? Now, you can give a theological definition of sin. You can give the catechism definition of sin. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. That's a good theological definition in succinct terms. But you can deal with it much more simply. Sin is anything that's against God. Sin is anything that comes between you and the Lord. Sin is anything that drives you from Christ. It may be acceptable to others. It may not have even the same effect in others. That's why just because I do something, it's not reason why you may do that. The thing in itself may have no effect on me and yet have a terrible effect on you. Anything that is against God, anything that's going to drive you away from the Lord, it's going to antagonize you toward the things of God or alienate you from the things of God, that thing for you is sin. That's how he defined sin. And what made it hateful to him was that it was hateful to God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.